All right, Cash, you're in Tulsa, you're in Oklahoma. You haven't been to Oklahoma before. I've got 15 rapid-fire questions for you today. And we're going to start off with kind of light stuff, and then it'll get progressively deeper. Those 15 questions with Cash, okay?
15 questions so to question crack me into Tulsa.
So here we go. So question number one, I got my Sharpie out, so I'm keeping track here. Question number one, here we go. What other states have you not been to?
Iowa, Montana, Idaho, and that may be it.
We may have to podcast in each of those states before it's all said and done. Oh, you can cross off Oklahoma. Okay. Second is, what is the biggest issue in your mind facing America right now?
The complete weaponization of justice and the creation of a two-tier system of justice.
Okay. Question number three. You got a new book, Government Gangsters. My understanding is you had to spend 9 months suing for the right to put out your book. Why have you had to sue the Biden administration to get the – how does it even work? How can it be that you can't release your book because – just explain how that works.
As a former government employee, if you write a book when you leave government service, you just have to submit your manuscript for a process, you know, review, which I agree with. But usually it's 2 to 3 months, boom, 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 let it out the door. They blocked me because they didn't want it out. They know that what we put in there is the truth, how to obliterate the deep state. We call them all out. Hired a lawyer, took him to federal court, and we won. And the book's going to print in 2 weeks, governmentgangsters.com.
Now, as far as the political persecution of President Donald J. Trump, if a 10 is like the most serious possible situation facing our country and a 1 is not serious at all, how serious are these charges against President Trump? I mean, how is this? Is it theater? Is it actual? Are they actually trying to put our former commander in chief in prison? What's happening?
Substantively, from a former prosecutorial standpoint, they're a joke. They have no basis in law. They have no basis in the Constitution. They are completely political. From a weaponization purpose, these are probably a 10 because
really?
All they want to do is just convict him and get him off the ballot. That's their goal. Some way, somehow, they're trying to do that.
Okay. Now, a lot of our listeners are people of faith. We love to pray for you guys. But the problem is we really don't know who you guys are. I mean, a lot of times we say, I want to pray for the Trump team, but we don't really know who these people are. And I think people are trying to expand their prayer list. Who are some of the people in that inner Trump circle that we should be lifting up in prayer or maybe donating to when we can? Or who's and I'm not trying to ask you a gotcha question where you forget to mention a key person, but are there a few people out there that we all need to know about behind the scenes? Because a lot of people just don't know the team Trump.
Well, a lot of folks, I think, just serve to serve and don't even want their names out there.
Got
it. That's the point of government service. You know, then there's guys that are out there like Dan Scavino, who's an absolute legend. Folks on the comms team, folks in the speech writing team. You know, people like Rick Rennell, people like Matt Whitaker, and people, you know, there's just so many people, Susie Wiles and Chris Acevedo and company that are out there just doing the day-to-day that nobody hears about. And that their teams are just so impressive.
Is there somebody we should be following on Truth Social? Because Truth Social, it's the only place that we can go to find you. Are there certain voices where you go, wow, that person is a prolific poster of truth? And if you're going to follow a few people, you should follow these people on Truth.
Yeah, there's why am I blanking on his name? The Article 3 Project, Mike Davis.
Mike Davis.
Brilliant guy. I appear with him on TV a bunch. DC Drano puts out some good stuff on Truth Social. And there's just so many guys, but Mike Davis does a really nice job getting after it. And I wish more people would speak their mind with fact and law as Mike Davis does.
Okay, next question. How did you meet Devin Nunes? Devin Nunes is the CEO of Truth Social. Devin Nunes is in the documentary with you, Plot Against the President. Devin Nunes is a good friend of yours. He speaks very highly of you. How did you first meet Devin Nunes?
I lost a drinking contest. No. I tried to get my buddy a job in the incoming Trump administration, and somebody put us in touch, and I was sitting in his office and trying to help my friend get a job, and then I ended up getting stuck with Russiagate.
How did you first meet President Donald J. Trump?
In White House, Oval Office, when I first started on the National Security Council. Yeah.
Okay. Funniest President Trump moment that you're allowed to share? Funniest moment where you got a dinner party, people are together, and you've maybe shared the story before, but it's like something that is classic President Donald J. Trump that you're allowed to share? Classic moment, classic, like that right there is Trump 101. What is that?
We're on Air Force One. We're flying back from, I don't know, somewhere, and it's senior staff up in the presidential cabin. And so there's a couple of us. There's like four of us. Scavino's one of them. And the boss comes out and looks at us, and he's in a great mood. He's talking about, you know, whatever, work, policies, everyday stuff. And then he stopped and looked at me, and he goes, "Oh yeah, there's Cash. There he is." He goes, "When they make the movie about me, I want you to play you. This guy straight out of Hollywood." And I think two of the people at the staff table spit their coffees out across the staff table. Scavino just put his head in his lap, and I turned around. There's a great photo of it, and I'll show you later, of the photographer actually caught the moment of me. Everybody was dying.
Now, Trump impersonations, okay? Laura Trump does a pretty incredible Trump impersonation.
Heard that.
It's incredible. It's really incredible. I've seen her. I've never seen Don attempt to do it or Eric, but I've seen Laura, and Laura really nails the Trump impersonation. Do you have anybody in the inner circle that dares to do a Trump impersonation, or is anybody who really has nailed it the best? Anybody that in the inner circle that kind of can impersonate Trump accurately, that actually has the courage to do it in his presence? Is there anybody who does that?
Oh, you know, I don't know that I've seen anyone do it in his presence. Like, I might say, somebody might say like one word or a phrase that's common to Donald Trump, but no, I don't think I've seen that. That would go, I don't know how that would go down.
Okay, I just was curious. Okay. Now, President Trump is a guy who has incredible hair. It's great hair. Now, your hair, Cash, we love you, but your hair is not like iconic to the point where people are getting the Cash hair.
Yeah.
President Trump, you know him by the hair. Yeah. And he's actually written about his hair in his books. He talks about how his hair is part of the brand. Have you ever seen him get his hair ready, or is it always ready?
It's kind of always ready. I've seen him sort of touch it up a little bit.
Okay.
You know, I've even, you know, seen the boss first thing for morning meetings and stuff like that. Yeah. It kind of just always is generally there. Maybe a little touch up here and there.
Okay. But you guys, so he's always ready to go. Okay. Next, President Trump casual. I always see him as formal. You always see him formal. You know, I see him in when he's golfing, I see the polo. He's got slacks on. Mm-hmm. When he's talking in front of people, he'll usually have a jacket on. He's in a suit with the power tie. Occasionally you might see him without a tie. How casual? I mean, you ever see President Trump rocking and one shorts, rocking some sandals, rocking a Cash hoodie? You ever see Trump just, you know, I mean, how casual will he go?
No, you know, one time I saw him wearing a Fight with Cash hoodie and Jordans. No, I'm kidding. he's just, you know, that's the attire. That's the suit. The suit's the suit.
It's the move.
It's game day every day.
Okay. Melania. I've only met her on one occasion. And she comes across as this regal person that somehow is like smoothly navigating all conversations. I went to a birthday party for Laura, and I watched her engage with people, and she really is a very regal individual. With Melania, does she like to come in and say hello to you guys when you're trying to save the country? Does she kind of let you guys do your own thing, or does she like to get involved? What's the Melania dynamic that you're allowed to speak about?
She's brilliant. She's one of the funniest people I've ever met. And she knows what's going on at all times. And she's one of the most influential people when it came down to making consequential decisions in President Trump's administration. I saw it firsthand. Evenings like the Baghdadi raid and other things. She has a wealth of knowledge and understanding of a landscape that is almost unparalleled.
Now, within the Trump circuit, you guys have had to master the art of gallows humor. I mean, you've had to go through a lot. I mean, every day there's a new indictment, there's a new charge, there's a new allegation, there's a hit piece. When there's a hit piece, reaction to a hit piece, there's a lawsuit related to a hit piece. There's constant people making things up. It never ends. It's constant. Anytime you say a word, if you say a word in jest and joking, somebody will take that clip and put it on TikTok and edit it to make it look. So you guys have dealt with a lot. Who is the funniest person within the Trump orbit outside of the boss himself, outside of the President Trump himself, outside of President Donald J. Trump? Who is the funniest person within the Trump orbit where you go, this guy or this person is going to lighten the mood when it's rough. You know, okay, they're going to have. Who is that person? Persons.
I'm not sure. They want their name out.
Okay. Hard pass. That's fair.
There's one or two that do crack up the mood.
Okay. Okay. Final question. Then I want to talk about your book here. So I've noticed that you are drinking a Diet Coke. When I met President Donald J. Trump at Mar-a-Lago, he also was sipping on a Diet Coke. And I didn't know if this was like part of the core tenets of Make America Great Again. You know, it's like we support capitalism and build the wall and stand up for the Constitution and we drink Diet Coke. And how deep does the Diet Coke thing go?
It sort of covers the entire front. Everybody gets in on it is the only way I can describe it. People I never thought would ever drink Diet Coke like me just ended up, it's there. You drink it. It's a thing.
So that's what he supplies. It's always available.
Well, it's also like, you know, the president just offered you Diet Coke. What do you do? Say no.
Okay. So I'm going to pull this up here real quick here. You have written a new book called Government Gangsters, and I'm going to pull it up here so people can see it. You've written this book and the book is, probably took it 9 months to sue the Biden administration to get the book out. I mean, it's one of the most, I guess, maybe persecuted books. What is it that the government is so concerned about? Why is this book, Government Gangsters, such a threat to the establishment?
The same reasons probably Donald Trump is. We put out the truth. We put the American mission first. We highlight the government gangsters. I name them by chapter and verse. And we go through every agency and department and tell you who failed and why, but more importantly, how to fix it. We've got stories from my time in. And I think the reason they tried to censor it and suppress it is because they don't want those names out. They don't want those stories out. They don't want the successes of the Trump National Security Mission out, because in an election cycle year, people are going to read this, and a lot of people are going to be first-time viewers and readers and say, I didn't know that. I was lied to about Russiagate, about Hunter Biden's laptop, about Joe Biden's documents case, about everything the DOJ and FBI did under Garland and Wray, and I want a single-tier system of justice. So we got it all in there. We talk about meatballs. We talk about Cokes. We talk about diet sodas, Air Force One, Marine One. Some of the greatest experiences in my life, like going to India with President Trump and meeting Prime Minister Modi with my parents in our hometown of Gujarat. So some pretty epic stuff.
Dude, I am so fired up to read this book. I got my copy today. Thank you for signing it.
It's all blank. I didn't tell you.
Oh, but people can buy signed copies from you for $69. Is that right?
Yeah. So I signed 3.5 tons. I signed 4,800 copies of Government Gangsters.
Wow.
Go ahead. I dare you to buy us out and make me sign another 3.5 tons. Go to governmentgangsters.com. They make great gifts. You can also get the two of the pieces of the trilogy there. The Plot Against the King and The Plot Against the King 2, Russiagate for Kids. You guys are going
to
love it.
So what we're going to do right now, folks, just to be clear, for tonight, we're going to do this. This will be a kind of a special that we're doing unique to the Trump Doral event we have coming up here. If you go to timetofreeamerica.com, I'm going to pull this up, timetofreeamerica.com. This is one of the smaller venues that we've hosted a Reawaken America tour at.
I think it's one of the best.
I love it. But it's cool. I mean, it's in terms of size,
yeah,
I mean,
yeah,
here in Vegas, we have like 6,000 people. We can only accommodate 3,000 people in the ballroom. And so if you want to get a ticket to attend the Reawaken America tour, you really want to get those tickets now before we sell out. But if you buy a copy of Government Gangsters and you text me a proof of purchase to 918-851-0102, 918-851-0102, you're entered in for a chance to win a backstage pass. And I have a video here. I want to pull this up here so people can see this. You have spoken at the Reawaken tours. You've also opened up for... You've also opened up for President Donald J. Trump. And what I keep being told is people keep saying that there's nothing like a Trump rally and there's nothing like a Reawaken America tour. So as I play some footage here, could you kind of describe the energy of a Trump rally and the energy of a Reawaken America tour event? Because a lot of people haven't seen it before. They haven't been backstage. They haven't seen the energy. What's that like from your perspective as one of the key speakers?
It's invigorating. It's inspiring. It means so much to us to know that the American public is following Donald Trump's America First mission. And that is what leads you to do the Reawaken tour with Mike Flynn and so many other great Americans. That's what causes us to go out there as often as we can and speak to the world, because our mission is to educate them with the truth so they are armed come Election Day next year to go out into their communities and educate everyday Americans on how they should vote based on the facts and not misinformation. And if you want that and you want to have the time of your life and you want a raucous environment, you want a rock conference, you got to go to the Reawaken Tour and a Trump rally as soon as they're near you.
I'll tell you this, when you hopped on the stage in Nashville and you opened it up for questions from the audience, it terrified me because didn't have a screener. You didn't have anybody censoring, and you like to connect with people. You love to do the question and answer sessions. You also go out in your booth and meet a lot of folks. And I just appreciate you being a big part of the Reawaken America Tour. And I encourage everybody out there, go to governmentgangsters.com, purchase a copy of the book, text proof of purchase to 918-851-0102. That's 918-851-0102. You text proof of purchase, you have a chance to win a backstage pass to the Reawaken America Tour. Sir, I'm going to give you the final word here. I know I've hit you up with 15 questions plus 3 bonus fry questions. What's the final word you want to share to everybody out there watching right now? And again, thank you for coming to Tulsa, Oklahoma to broadcast live here from Tulsa, Jerusalem. What's the final word of encouragement you want to share there, sir?
I'm going to rub it in. I'm about to have the greatest barbecue on God's green earth with Clay Clark, who is a tremendous American, a great friend. If we had 10 more of these guys, the election would already have been won. So go support Clay Clark, Mike Flynn, the Reawaken Tour, and stop by Oklahoma. It's not too bad. My trip's going pretty good so far. And we got a big event tomorrow at the church with Lord Trump. So I can't thank you enough for having me and taking time away from your family for an entire weekend to do this.
Hey, thank you. Thanks again, Cash. Thanks for being in the studio. Take care.
Researchers have just launched a late-stage clinical trial on a whole new kind of COVID-19 vaccine, one that's grown in plants. They're looking for volunteers in San Diego. We're going in-depth on what you might call the world's first vegan vaccine. Medicago's manufacturing facility looks like a nursery, but inside these plants, they're growing a new kind of vaccine, one that's now being tested in volunteers around the U.S., including in San Diego.
Tell us a little bit about the study that just came out of Sweden that is just so alarming.
The news is buzzing out of Lund University, Malmo, Sweden. Marcus Alden is the first author. The first demonstration in a human hepatic or liver cell line that the Pfizer vaccine, in fact, reverse transcribes and installs DNA into the human genome.
There's a joint report from the government of the UK and Germany about transhumanism. Mm-hmm. And as you know, this is one of the agendas of the World Economic Forum. That's not hidden. It's not a conspiracy. Transhumanism. And they talk about the RNA vaccines as an entry point. Kind of opening that space ethically and otherwise.
And you see, the difference of this fourth industrial revolution is it doesn't change what you are doing. It changes you. If you take a genetic editing, just as an example, it's you who are changed.
Bill Gates and other investors are betting Kadama Systems can reduce carbon dioxide in the air by chopping down and burying trees, which has raised $6.6 million in seed funding from Bill Gates' Breakthrough Energy and others. Scientists say burying trees can reduce global warming as well. I don't know where they're finding these scientists, by the way. To help address the problem, the U.S. Forest Services aims to thin out 70 million acres of western forests, mostly in California, over the next decade, extracting more than 1 billion tons of bone-dried biomass. Normally, when you cut down trees, when you're a lumberjack, when you have a lumber company, you're selling the lumber to build houses, people buying from Home Depot or whatever. They're arguing that they want to, rather than sell the timber, take all that wood and just bury it, because they're saying that that is a better solution. And so, in other words, this is a business, because they're getting money to create carbon offsets. And this is what Bill Gates is financing.
House and other grass-eating species have a digestion system that emits methane. And methane is a very powerful greenhouse gas. And so cows alone account for about 6% of global emissions. And so we need to change
cows,
just cows alone.
How are we gonna do that?
Well, actually, of all the categories, the one that has gone better than I would have expected 5 years ago is this work to make what's called artificial meat. And so you have people like Impossible or Beyond Meat, both of which I invested in.
You eat it as well, and you like it?
Absolutely. You can go to Burger King and buy the Impossible Burger.
All right. Is it healthier for you or just healthier for the atmosphere?
It's slightly healthier for you in terms of less cholesterol. It's, of course, dramatic reduction in methane emissions, you know, animal cruelty, manure management, and the pressure that meat consumption puts on land use.
There is, of course, a clear financial motive to Gates' plan in getting people to consume his fake food, just as there had been with his COVID investments. This is the man who admitted he ordered President Trump not to investigate the possible side effects of the new COVID jabs.
In both of those two meetings, he asked me if vaccines weren't a bad thing, because he was considering a commission to look into ill effects of vaccines. And somebody, his name is Robert Kennedy Jr., was advising him that vaccines were causing bad things. And I said, no, that's a dead end. That would be a bad thing. Don't do that.
Damning stuff, I'm sure you'll agree. But Gates has a history of being, suspiciously, one step ahead of major world disasters and capitalizing on them when they arrive. In recent years, Gates has been buying up vast swathes of US and world farmland. Last year, Gates became the biggest private owner of farmland in the US.
Emissions from the food system alone are projected to cause another half a degree of warming by mid-century on the current course that we are today. A 2-degree future could result in an additional 600 million people not getting enough to eat. And you just can't continue to both warm the planet while also expecting to feed it. Doesn't work. So we have to reduce emissions from the food system to keep the 1.5 degrees alive. Why do we have to keep 1.5 degrees alive? Because scientists, as a basis of physics and mathematics, not ideology and politics or party labels or anything else, as a matter of physics and mathematics and some biology and chemistry, have told us these are the consequences, and we already see it happening.
I think the chief value of science is power. Science is mainly about gaining power over the world. They use truth to some extent on the way to achieving power or to achieving order, but this is not their highest value.
Say more about power. What do you mean?
I think science as an institution is interested in gaining the power, to gain control over the world.
Cows and other grass-eating species have a digestion system that emits methane. And methane is a very powerful greenhouse gas. And so cows alone account for about 6%.